the French equivalents of these words in 1869, and little has changed since. 126 years later, a Time cover story on deep-sea exploration made much the same admission. Quote, "We know more about Mars than we do about the oceans," unquote. This reality begins to explain the dark power and otherworldly fascination of 20,000 Leagues Under the Seas. Born in the French river town of Nantes, Verne had a lifelong passion for the sea, first as a Paris stockbroker, later as a celebrated author and yachtsman. He went on frequent voyages to Britain, America, the Mediterranean. But the specific stimulus for this novel was an 1865 fan letter from a fellow writer, Madame George Sand. She praised Verne's two early novels, 5 Weeks in a Balloon, 1863, and Journey to the Center of the Earth, 1864. Then added, quote, "Soon I hope you'll take us into the ocean depths, your characters traveling in diving equipment perfected by your science and your imagination," unquote. Thus inspired, Verne created one of literature's great rebels, a freedom fighter who plunged beneath the waves to wage a unique form of guerrilla warfare. Initially, Verne's narrative was influenced by the 1863 uprising of Poland against Tsarist Russia. The Poles were quashed with a violence that appalled not only Verne, but all Europe. As originally conceived, Verne's Captain Nemo was a Polish nobleman whose entire family had been slaughtered by Russian troops. Nemo builds a fabulous futuristic submarine, the Nautilus, then conducts an underwater campaign of vengeance against his imperialist oppressor. But in the 1860s, France had to treat the Tsar as an ally, and Verne's publisher, Pierre Hetzel, pronounced the book unprintable. Verne reworked its political content, devising new nationalities for Nemo and his great enemy, information revealed only in a later novel, The Mysterious Island, 1875. In the present work, Nemo's background remains a dark secret. In all, the novel had a difficult gestation. Verne and Hetzel were in constant conflict, and the book went through multiple drafts, struggles reflected in its several working titles over the period of 1865 to 69. Early on, it was variously called Voyage Under the Waters, 25,000 Leagues Under the Waters, 20,000 Leagues Under the Waters, and 1,000 Leagues Under the Oceans. Verne is often dubbed, in Isaac Asimov's phrase, the world's first science fiction writer. And it's true. Many of his 60-odd books do anticipate future events and technologies. From The Earth to the Moon, 1865, and Hector Servadac, 1877, deal in space travel, while Journey to the Center of the Earth features travel to the Earth's core. But with Verne, the operative word is travel, and some of his best-known titles don't really qualify as sci-fi. Around the World in 80 Days, 1872, and Michael Strogoff, 1876, are closer to travel logs, adventure yarns in faraway places. These observations partly apply here. The subtitle of the present book is An Underwater Tour of the World. So in good travelogue style, the Nautilus's exploits supply an episodic storyline. Shark attacks, giant squid, cannibals, hurricanes, whale hunts, and other rip-roaring adventures erupt almost at random. Yet this loose structure gives the novel an air of documentary realism. What's more, Verne adds backbone to the action by developing three recurring motifs: the deepening mystery of Nemo's past life and future intentions, the mounting tension between Nemo and hot-tempered harpooner Ned Land, and Ned's ongoing schemes to escape from the Nautilus. These unifying threads tighten the narrative and accelerate its momentum. Other subtleties occur inside each episode, the textures sparkling with wit, information, and insight. Verne regards the sea from many angles. In the domain of marine biology, he gives us thumbnail sketches of fish, seashells, coral, sometimes in great catalogs that swirl past like musical cascades. In the realm of geology,